It is time now for our Tips for Hardy Gardeners series. A man who is no doubt exhausted and sunburned and yet still smiling, Mr. Tom Casper, our longtime host of Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Howdy there, sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Well, I understand from many gardeners that their plants are getting fried. They've got new little seedlings and plants in the ground, and they've lovingly transplanted them. Oh, and that reminds me, I got to tell you about another one of the many times you were right. But they've lovingly transplanted them, and now they're getting fried in the sun. And gardeners, especially new gardeners, and there are a lot of them, they're pretty passionate. They're wringing their hands. They're sad. They're weeping big tears of concern. What can you tell them? Other than they're there.
Well, yeah, it's kind of an interesting phenomena that we have seen here. We've gone from killing frost a week before to killing heat the week after. So it certainly has been a challenge. And so what folks are seeing is basically sunburn, or the plants haven't been hardened off or acclimated to the heat that they were really exposed to. And in most cases, those plants are going to grow out of that if it wasn't too severe. So it's the folks that are wondering what's happening, more than likely the plants went out without that opportunity to spend a little incremental time outside.
Well, in fairness, we didn't get any either.
Right.
You know, I mean, you didn't have the opportunity to go out and mow in, you know, you mow it at 55 degrees and then you mow at 65 and then you mow at 75. You know, we just, again, went from it rained and the grass went and shot up a foot. And then it's 90. Get out there and mow it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it we, as humans, kind of experience the same thing as the plant. We wilt a little bit underneath that heat.
We sunburn.
Some signs, and we sunburn. So it's pretty natural for that to happen in all cases under those extreme conditions. And the things that folks can do about it, if that has happened to them, is continue to water that plant and hope that it wasn't severe enough to take the plant. Oftentimes over in a week or so, you'll start to see some new growth coming, and in essence, you're starting over, but our seasons are still well ahead of us, and there is the opportunity to still have some produce and some time to enjoy that garden. So,
well, is this kind of Darwinian too? I mean, the strong plants will survive. Right. And no, the weaklings will be winnowed out.
Not really.
All right, just checking.
Okay. No, it's even the strongest of plants under those 100-degree conditions, and especially if folks had planted their gardens up against on the south side of a house against the foundation, where our air temperature was close to 100 on Saturday and at part of the day. And, you know, it could be 120 degrees next to the foundation of that house. So plants were definitely under stress, and young root systems that hadn't fully developed and didn't have the opportunity to take up water. And if folks couldn't keep up with the watering or missed a little bit of water or they weren't thorough with that watering, you know, all those things lead up to what we're seeing with some folks having some additional stress on their plants if they survived the frost from 5 years.
Well, that, by the way, I wanted to commend you on that, because you said on this very show a few weeks back, don't plant before June 1st. And, gardeners were planting before June 1st, right, left, and center. And, I mean, we had some beautiful, beautiful days. And, no, I mean, of course you would want to go out. It was beautiful to be outside. It was beautiful to be puttering around in the garden. I should have been out there cleaning up from last year and poisoning the burdock, or calling my good friend with the flamethrower and saying, hey, we need some fire over here. But You know, folks got excited. They put stuff in the ground. And then out of nowhere, it seems right at the very end of May, when June 1st was, you could see it from where you were standing. And all of a sudden, wham, it just clobbered everything with the frost. So you were right once again. I just want to let you know. I noticed.
Well, you know, it's the first time in 2021. So, I mean.
No, it's when you're
at some point it has to happen.
When you're right, I notice, you know, and
yeah,
again,
I
you know, that it's, well, there's limited space in my brain, but so far I've got plenty of room for those opportunities when you were right. So anyway, good for you, hey.
So yeah, and I've talked to quite a few gardeners who did plant early and acknowledged that they planted early. And then knowing that frost was coming, they went out and did the necessary things. They put buckets over things or sheets or plastic in the event. And that works to a certain degree, you know, a couple of degrees, basically, down to about 30 degrees that will protect. But in some areas, I know up the shore a bit and inland a bit, folks were into the low 20s. On a couple of those nights. So people who had put their tomato plants out and put big, sturdy 5-gallon buckets over the top of them, which should work in just about any case, the frost went right through those, or the cold went right through those. And so folks who did plant early but also brought along some extra precaution and covered those plants,
sure,
also suffered a difficult fate. So
this is where the hardy gardening comes in right here, because like you say, we've had to pivot from covering things to make sure that they didn't freeze to somehow trying to shade things so they don't keep frying.
Yeah, it's pretty extreme conditions in a matter of 5 days.
Gardening up here is not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not. You know, and the next thing that people need to do with their garden, which is also challenging, especially for new gardeners, but even long experienced gardeners, one of the more challenging things to do for vegetable gardeners is thinning the garden. So they've gone out, they've watched their tomatoes fry, they've watched their peppers shrivel up, and now they have to go to their carrots and beets and peas and start pulling plants out of the ground.
So
that can be difficult for folks to do too, and certainly doing it at a certain time of the season is very important to really that those vegetables reaching their potential. So getting in now as those plants are growing, the ones that they've gone out and seeded and have more than likely are fine through this cold and heat, but they need to go out now and start thinning those out to give those developing vegetables the space they need.
Okay, if you are woefully tender-hearted, or if you were raised by people who believe that you never, never, never wasted anything, can you grow many of those things, like carrots? I mean, so you're yanking little carrots out of the ground. Can you put them in a pot and grow them in a container? Can you give them to somebody else and say, here, put these little, you know, put these 5 little carrots in your yard and the bunnies will eat them, or, you know, whatever. I mean, can you relocate them or rehome them?
Pretty difficult to do.
Because now they've got little roots, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. They've developed, and by you having to pull that out of the ground, pretty much have done that in. But there, for folks that have that concern, and I'm one of those people. I, speaking of Darwinism, you know, you're in there and you're just sort of randomly pulling these poor little carrots out to which one stays and which ones go.
I know. you were really having a lot of existential angst over that last year. That I still remember that from last year. It was very painful to watch.
Yeah, so there is a bit of that, but there, for people that have that concern, there are a couple of things on the market that they can use. One of them is a seed tape. So you buy, it's more expensive, of course, but it The seeds are in a piece of paper, basically, and you roll that out. The paper disintegrates. The seeds germinate, and they're proportionally spaced. So carrots are spaced at a distance. Beets are spaced at a distance. You roll that out. You water that. Seeds grow, and you don't have to do that.
Oh,
those
hey,
are kind of nice.
You know what I saw online? Somebody had taken a regular muffin tin, and they had just taken their muffin tin out into their garden. They had the bed beautifully raked. They took the muffin tin, they pushed it gently into the dirt a little bit, and it made, you know, a dozen little holes. And they said, okay, now you space your plants like this. And apparently that was a pretty good spacing for their plants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so coming up with things like that, some people will use a yardstick and make a mark and then plop a seed every distance. Or there's even little a machine, and it's not a, you can buy them very high tech or you can buy them low tech, but you roll it along and it automatically drops a seed spaced on a or based on a distance that you set on this. So you could go along with some seeds in the hopper, and it's going to every half inch, quarter inch, 1 inch, drop a seed in the ground for you. So that will help a little bit with.
So when you plant, once you've just willy-nilly gone and grown them too close to each other, you have to follow through with a hard responsibility. But if you plant them appropriately spaced to begin with, then you don't have to face this heartache. Is that what you're telling me?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. So for your garden to now be successful, if you've gone out and seeded all these wonderful vegetables, you do have to thin them for that garden to be successful, or else you're going to end up with misshapen or no production out of some of those vegetables, especially things like carrots or radishes that, you know, the seeds are microscopic. So when you go in and sprinkle these seeds, you could have 10 seeds in a space
right.
where there should be one.
Right. Got it.
So as that tries to develop and they're pushing up against each other, none of them will develop. So
you've got to sacrifice to save one.
That
is really hard.
Yes.
I don't think my mental health can handle this.
Who want to learn more about how to see or how to thin crops like that, we have an opportunity for a little educational hands-on. So tomorrow up at the greenhouse where our Open Hands food project is, we are going to be thinning some of those said vegetables we've spoken about.
And what time?
We start at 3.
3 p.m.? Okay.
3 p.m.
Got it.
And folks can come up and learn a little bit about how to do that and what it's like to do that. And they'll also see what we already have growing up there. We've got cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower and tomatoes and all sorts of stuff. So they can kind of see the beginnings of this season's food project up there.
So it's kind of like half workshop, half support group is what I'm hearing.
Exactly.
So in other words, if you're going to have to make the difficult moral decision about which vegetables live and which die in your garden, you can redeem yourself by going up to work for a food project and learn some lessons and help out a little bit. And this is somehow going to restore the moral scales of your personal universe back to level.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I know. I know. We've been doing this so long. I just know.
Yeah.
You're kind of amazing, TK. See, by the way, with Wildflower Garden, you don't have to do this. Well, okay, that's not
right.
True. Some sneezeweed lost its life. There was some sneezeweed that was picked up and tossed unceremoniously to leave the iris a little bit of space. And, of course, the burdock was the subject of all kinds. I'm still thinking poison and fire for the burdock because...
Well, you know, and that is it, and even in almost any garden case, at some point you're going to have to thin something, whether it's like you said, sneezeweed that's advancing, or
mint. If you did not listen, did not listen to your friend who said it's going to take over, and if you went ahead and said I like it, You know, if you don't listen to people, if you don't listen to more experienced gardeners, things are going to get, they're going to get hard for you. You know, your belief system is going to be tested. But, you know, we come out on the other end of these things stronger and better people, we hope.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, for all gardeners, no matter how long they've been gardening, every year is a new experience. This year for me, or and for I'm sure many other experienced gardeners, to see the extremes that we've seen in gardening with the killing cold temperatures to the killing hot temperatures in a matter of days is something most of us have never seen before. And it certainly is a challenge for all gardeners of all levels. So for those new gardeners, hopefully they don't become too discouraged by this and give up on it. And hopefully they continue.
Be brave, little buckaroo, and remember to reach out for help. If you need help and support, reach out. It's there. It's available for you. And there's no shame in calling a friend and saying, I have to thin the carrots, and asking them to come over and be there with you. You know, I'm just saying. Tom Casper, I'll make his home phone number available at the, you know, on our website, and you can call him anytime, day or night, and he'll come over.
And address if they want to come over and thin at will.
Hey, TK, let's talk again in a couple of weeks. I don't know, maybe it'll be monsoon season by then.
Hey, that'd be good.
That'd be super fun. All right, and then it'll also be fun to find out how the Open Hands Food Project is coming along. Since we got this jump on the season, can you tell me quick, when do you think you'll actually have some things that you're ready to harvest and donate?
I'm thinking about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Especially if we get folks to come up and help with thinning radishes. We got peas that are coming up the trellis already that folks have helped put up, and things are really developing nicely. And the challenge, of course, now has been with this heat, is to keep everything watered. But we are keeping water going, and it's moving right along. So my hope is about 2 weeks with our first produce, and then after that weekly till late October.
Ooh, exciting. All right, we'll get details coming up in a couple of weeks. Thank you, Mr. Casper.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Tom Casper, a remarkably good sport and our longtime host of Tips for Hardy Gardeners this morning here on 103.3 KUMD.